Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and in a special edition of the podcast, we sit down with Captain Jack Andrews, a professional bettor and a YouTube personality, on how he advises online sports bettors and casino players to get the best of it. The GGB podcast is brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at IGT.com/peak. If you say I can stay, baby, you know I will. I can stay here all evening, listen to the music you play. Gambling for profit is getting more difficult in the land-based casinos. With restrictive rules, automatic shufflers, and very strict oversight, it's almost impossible to make money on blackjack anymore. Other casino games are even worse if you're there to make money consistently. But Captain Jack Andrews, a professional bettor and YouTuber, has some inside information on how to make money betting sports and playing games online. He explains that a savvy gambler can find the best rules and bonuses and promotions that can make even a losing game profitable. He's about to launch unabated.com, a website that will advise its visitors on where and how to find the best bets. He spoke with me from his office in New Jersey via Zoom in July. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Captain Jack Andrews, a professional gambler who has been in the business for many years and has now started to give advice to people who are amateur gamblers and how to get the best of it whenever you're going into a casino or an online casino. So Jack, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Absolutely. So why don't we start with your background? I mean, I know sometimes professional gamblers are a little hesitant to talk about their background, but I think you're pretty upfront about it, especially when you started this new website that's gonna help amateur gamblers to get the best of it. So why don't you give us some of your background there?
Sure. Well, I started as a card counter. I'll call that the gateway drug of advantage play.
Right.
It was back around the turn of the century, early around 2000. I had got an interest in casinos and casino gambling, and I said, well, I don't want to lose. How do I win?
Right.
And some searching and found that, oh, card counting. Okay, well, and I went down that path. And as many people know, card counting is an allure of riches, but it's actually, in practice, it's very difficult. It's a very
right.
small edge,
mm-hmm.
and it's very hard to stay disciplined enough to really turn that into something.
Right.
And many people have, but I wasn't one of them.
Right.
I was someone who was under bankrolled and probably under committed to the whole process. And I didn't really make a lot of money card counting.
Right.
But in that process, I got hooked into this community of
mm-hmm.
other advantage players, and it was Stanford Wong's old website, BJ21.
Mm-hmm.
And I became very enthralled with the entire concept of advantage play and the entire community. And that led to other doors opening. And among those other doors that opened was the first internet casino boom back in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the offshore
right.
internet casino boom. And I quickly identified that there was some inefficiencies in that market. I could take advantage of deposit bonuses, and there was a never-ending supply of these offshore online casinos, and I was able to build a bankroll that way.
Mm-hmm.
So then when other opportunities in advantage play in the community came up, well, suddenly I had the funding for it. And once you have the money, you start to take it a little bit more seriously.
Right.
So I got into other forms of advantage play, and one of them was sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed sports betting because it's not so much about counting cards or
right.
doing a certain play in a casino. It's more about assessing a market and finding inefficiencies within a market,
mm-hmm.
which appeals to a lot of people, sort of like the same people that are that are drawn to the stock market.
Right.
They
right.
have this
mm-hmm.
sense of, oh, I can find the inefficiency in this market, take advantage of it, and boom,
right.
make a lot of money. So sports betting appealed to me. Around that same time, New Jersey started their fight towards legalization.
Right.
And at the time, I'm like, well, I will go whole hog into sports betting because next year, in 2012, it's going to be a reality here
right.
in New Jersey. And of course, that fight took a lot longer than anyone anticipated.
Yep.
But come 2018, I was ready.
Right. Okay.
So what are characteristics of an advantage player and a professional gambler? I mean, you obviously have to be pretty good at math, which leaves me out immediately.
You know, that's actually a misnomer. I don't think you need to be good at math. You just need to be able to identify inefficiency. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to find opportunity and take advantage of it. I'm not good at math. Right. I'm one of these people, I'm not the best at anything. Yeah. I'm not the guy that they go, oh, there's Jack. He is the best at this certain technique. I'm good enough. Mm-hmm. And you only really need to be good enough to get the money. You just need to be dedicated to it. You need to have the mindset of, I don't want to play into a negative EV situation. Okay. I always want to play into a positive EV situation. So discipline's a large part of it. And I think that's what trips up a lot of gamblers that try to make that transition into advantage play. You know, they do well counting cards, but then they blow it back at the craps table
right,
later.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about some of the land-based stuff. I mean, obviously, you can't make any money as a professional gambler or even an advantage player when you're looking at 6-5 blackjack or a 000 roulette. I mean, those the edge against the player is pretty steep then. So what exactly are you looking for when it comes to advantage play? Let's talk about the land-based casinos to begin with.
So in a land-based casino, basically most of the angles are already known.
Right.
So anytime you find an inefficiency, it dries up quickly.
Right.
It's usually more towards dealer error and right. things like that, where there's an improper procedure being used and you can take advantage of that.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people in casino management are plumbing. In their procedures to prevent advantage play. The game design, you're right, the game design has moved more towards situations where you it's really tough to get an advantage, you know.
Right.
Things like 000 and 6-5 blackjack.
Right.
Even in video poker, we're now seeing that no longer do you have games where it could possibly be over 100% payback to the
right.
player after cashback, because the bar is lower. It's,
yeah.
You know, 97.5 is the game they want to deal rather than 99.5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely getting tougher in the land-based casinos. There are still opportunities, though, because there are so many land-based casinos.
Right.
If you are an advantage player these days, you have to travel. You have to be willing to go to all corners of the United States and beyond.
Right.
And find all of these casinos, because there's just so many of them that, you know, the law of large numbers means you will find an inefficiency out there somewhere.
Sure. Well, I just got read Arnold Schneider's new book, Radical Blackjack, and Arnold goes into, he names names and names locations of where his bets hits were. But I mean, it doesn't seem like you can even find a good blackjack table now without everybody knowing about it.
Yeah, I have not played a hand of blackjack in over 10 years now.
Yeah.
It's just too hard of a game to beat these days,
right?
But there are still people beating it, so that
sure.
kind of goes to show you I don't travel as much as I used to.
Well, again,
the guys that are beating it are going to all the corners.
Yeah. And again, you have had to have a big bankroll. A few years ago, Don Johnson made deals with casinos and walked away with millions of dollars, but that was more of a mistake of in math by the casino operators, I think, correct? I mean, how badly did they misunderstand the deal that they actually made?
Well, that was a desperate time, right?
Yes.
That was
right.
the last recession,
right?
Like
yep.
2006, 2008 period there. And yeah, he made some deals with casinos, loss rebate deals, and then he figured out the optimal point of play where
right.
this is the point where I should play to or exit.
Right.
And you know, he had a lot of things going on with that play. It was just a right combination of they were desperate for the
right.
action.
Yep.
He was willing to give them the action, and he set it up so he had the best of it.
Yeah, no question. He even played craps, from what I understand, you know, which is a good bet if you can get the odds up, right? But other than that, it's a tough game to win at also, but he did also win at that. So I think it was a mistake by the casino executives much more so than the way he played the game itself.
Yeah, no, there was two parts to that story, definitely. It was his ambition and then the casino management's blind spot of it all.
Right, absolutely. So let's talk about sports betting. I mean, that's obviously what's happening right now in terms of people making profits on it. And of course, we saw that even before online sports betting with the sharp bettors in Vegas and the Billy Walters crowd and that kind of thing. Was that more of them like pouring a lot of money onto one side of the equation so that you know they could middle it, and or did they really understand that the casinos were misinterpreting the matches themselves?
So back in the day, and this is just a few years back,
right,
sports betting was a very inefficient market.
Right.
There was a lot of price discovery that was happening in different areas at different times and not really being communicated to each other. So you could have, if you were on the strip,
right,
you could have different prices right next door to each other,
right
across the street from each other, to the point of, it paid to have guys located in each of these shops to find out what the best line is. And just by line shopping and then using your handicapping skill on top of that,
right,
you could often get the edge very easily.
Yeah.
Billy Walters, brilliant man, brilliant operation. He used every trick in the book.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to do head fakes where you bet the wrong side,
right,
because the book is going to follow your action.
Right, yeah.
Which you create your own inefficiency that way. Plus, he had plenty of people that were analyzing these games, and he used sort of the wisdom of the crowd method where he would say, well, if 3 out of 4 of my handicappers like this side, then that must be the right side.
Yeah.
He had a very sophisticated operation, but it was more taking advantage of just the inefficiency of the market in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today we have similar inefficiencies in that we have so many different operators.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a state where you have a lot of operators, I'm in New Jersey, but I have 20 plus operators here, just by line shopping alone, you can find inefficiency. You can find weak numbers. I think Billy Walters would do very well in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he is operating in New Jersey. We never know. But it's similar to that old Vegas where there's just a lot of opportunity, and it's easier to kind of run between shops these days because they're all online. So it's just a click away.
But we've seen a lot of pushback from the online operators these days. First of all, their limits are pretty low. Correct? Am I right? If you bet more than $500, people are all over you, looking at you, I've a couple of instances last year, I believe, out of the Oregon lottery where somebody won and they wouldn't pay them. What's the business strategy there for these operators? They really don't want these sharp bettors in there.
Right. So this is what's known as the recreational sportsbook model.
Right.
And this has been popular in Europe for years. And
that
is, sports betting is not a market where you can possibly get rich. It is it's entertainment tax.
Right.
It is meant for you to bet $20 on a game just as to have a little bit of extra sweat and enjoy the game a little bit more.
Right.
Roger, that kind of goes against what a lot of people like to view as the American way of prosperity.
Yeah.
In this country, we are very much, if you can do it, you can make it, you can turn a profit at it.
Right.
And that applies to things like the stock market and applies to business markets. And it applies to sports betting markets because we view this as a market. We view this as an opportunity. Come on in, take your shot, figure out, educate yourself enough to be a sharp bettor and you have a chance to make some real money here.
Right.
A lot of these sports books, unfortunately, don't view it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They view it as, you're only meant to be betting money you can afford to lose, and we'll set that number for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
now
on the flip side, they are willing to take hundreds of thousands of dollars in bets from players that they view as, losing players.
Right.
And much like a casino customer, they're willing to let the losers play as much as they want.
Right.
And it's the players that have a possibility of winning that they want to limit. It kind of makes for an uneven playing field.
Sure, sure. Well, you mentioned earlier the sign-up bonuses, and I see so many here in New Jersey as well. I signed up for something the other day, $1,000 in cash back, if you will match your deposit up to $1,000 kind of thing. And But you know, then you read the fine print and how you have to play it through it like four, five or six times, you know. So do amateur bettors really understand those sign up bonuses? And what, you know, I couldn't cash it out, and they complain about it. And of course you can't cash it out, you didn't read the fine print, you know.
Yeah, the sign up bonuses. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I kind of made my chops first in those offshore online casinos and sports books, and they had some really wacky terms and conditions that were almost impossible to fulfill. But if you kind of were able to walk the minefield, you could find some value. It's not as bad in the regulated market. It's actually, it's pretty good for the consumer. Most of them are what they call the risk-free bet. So in other words, you can make any bet up to $500, $1,000. And if you lose, you get the money back.
Right.
And the average consumer, when they look at that, they go, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna bet $100 and I'm gonna put it on this thing that's almost a sure thing so that I can win that money. Conversely, the best way to play that is to take a real long shot.
Yeah.
You know, put in a parlay, put in something that has big odds. Mm-hmm. And do it for the max because you're going to get the money back. And then once you get that money back, then you can grind out the free bets that you get back if it's refunded. And hey, if it wins, well, you might have just won 8-1 on a $500 bet, $4,000. It could be a really good payday for some people. Mm-hmm. So there are different ways to play these promotions. That's one of the things that we're kind of getting cover at unabated.com.
Right.
We're going to be able to get people to understand how these promotions work and what's their optimal way to play it.
Yeah.
And hopefully make them better players.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real something we really need in this industry because, I get messages all the time from sports books about, you know, make a bet on a player and we'll pay you double or something like that. And it just seems to be too good to be true. And sometimes it is, but sometimes it's actually a decent bet.
Well, and these sports books that are in the regulated market these days, they are marketing machines.
Right.
And they are willing to lose money for months and years to come in order to build up their customer list. Mm-hmm. So very often the marketing that they're putting out there exceeds the revenue they're generating from winning sports bets against players. So it's very possible that somebody could get into sports betting these days and play promotions and bonuses and odds boosts and be very profitable at it.
Right.
Now, in time, will the sportsbook say, we don't want your action, you're just playing promotions? Yes, they will absolutely do that. Mm-hmm. However, if it's somebody who's not really interested in sports betting, they just see this as a way to make money.
Sure.
Yeah, it's right out there for them. It's out in the open, and they can definitely use this as a path to some immediate profitability.
Sure. The Peak family of top-performing cabinets by IGT are accumulation of years of research and development, a passion leveraging both internal expertise and customer feedback. The results are a series of astounding cabinets that command attention with sleek modern features, ergonomically perfected curves, and bold design. Every aspect of the Peak cabinets have been scrutinized to ensure a comfortable gaming experience resulting in exceptional performance you can bank on. Learn more at igt.com/peak. And now back to our podcast. So one of the first online things that happened along with the offshore things was the online poker. But I always viewed that. I'm not a great poker player in person, so I can't imagine how you can do it, you know, and not see the other guy's face across the table. What would your advice be to a young, inexperienced poker player that wants to get into that game? I mean, is it possible that they can win, or are they just going to be a fish?
Well, I went through my poker phase as well, and Roger, I kind of agree with you. I'm not a good poker player either, I found out. Poker right now, online poker, is very segmented because we have just intrastate liquidity.
Right.
So if you go on to the poker site in your state, assuming you live in a state that has legalized poker, you're going to find the same players there 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
The same players at the table. It's a very small pool of players. And if they're on there 24/7, well, it's because they have put the time and work into becoming good poker players. There's very few fish that kind of swim into the water as they get eaten up.
Right.
And you're, you know, what's the line from rounders? If you if you play 15 minutes and you can't spot the fish at the table,
right, well, you're a fish, right?
And that's very true of online poker these days. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be like that.
Yeah.
We have some interstate compacts that are still being worked out, some that are in play already. And this liquidity pool is going to grow. The more big population states we get into legalized gambling, the more this pool is going to grow. So I'm optimistic that if you are a poker advocate and somebody who enjoys playing online poker, your day is coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming.
Okay, great, great. Let's talk about the online casinos. You know, the casinos, the land-based casinos that are online now love that rather than the sports book. You know, sports book has always been a narrow margin, you know, no matter how you slice it. But online casinos, they make some really good money on it. At the same time, it's a pretty good deal for players. I mean, you can actually see on many sites the return to player percentage on various games you're playing. So is that really, you know, a legitimate, or is that just a marketing tool for them?
It's legitimate, Roger. I'm really bullish on the online casino industry in the U.S. because it's being done in a way that doesn't seem like it's predatory towards the player.
Right.
Now, I have some responsible gaming concerns over online casinos in the U.S. because it is really easy to just fall into a spiral when it's just you and your computer late at night and you're chasing a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, putting that aside for a minute, the games are decent. We have some sites that have full-pay video poker.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
right.
You know, if you're a video poker player, you know that 9-6 jacks are better is a rare game anymore, but that's all over the place online. You know, there's some games that pay back up to 99.8%, which is really good in video poker. Then you have slots that you're right. You can go into the help screen and you can see what the slot is set at for the return to player.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many that are 98%, which is unheard of. I remember back in the day, you know, a lot of casino floors would have five slots or so.
Right.
The big neon sign says 98% return, and they were high limit slots.
Yeah.
And it was like, I always thought to myself, well, I could just go grind those slots. Well, you know, you can grind those slots, but variance catches up with you.
Yeah, exactly. It's still 2%.
In this case, you can play these 98% return slots for as low as 10 cents or something. And then the table games are not bad either.
No.
It's 3-2 blackjack.
Sure, right, yeah.
It's live dealer. For a while, there was a site that had early surrender with their blackjack.
Right.
It was only early surrender versus an ace, but that is actually still an advantageous rule for bettors. And it's a live game. Now, you can't really card count it. They only deal out about half of an 8-deck shoe, and that's not really worth your time to card count that. But, I mean, you could try to if you wanted to. There's definitely situations for players that have sort of that knowledge of what's a good bet and what's a bad bet. Make the good bets in the online casinos. And then on top of that, we have bonuses and promotions that make it a pretty good play in the long run for the player.
Sure. I mean, even if you're just playing basic strategy on one of those really good rule games, a 3-2 and, stand on soft 17 and rules like that, you can still, you know, have a fairly good time and get not an edge, but you're just giving away a little bit to the casino. So I am also very bullish on what you can do online. I hope they continue to do that.
So, yeah, absolutely. It's a great setup right now. You know, and as I mentioned earlier, I do have some responsible gaming concerns on the whole thing, but that is something that hopefully we can figure out. We can put some resources towards it. I feel like there's been a gap in the technology applied to RG.
Yeah.
You know, we're applying a lot of machine learning and AI technology to everything.
Right.
I think we need to do that towards responsible gaming, be able to profile and identify players have some responsible gaming concerns and tendencies and maybe doing some problem gambling, and find a way to at least give them a speed bump,
sure,
make them stop and go, oh, you know what, this is putting me in a bad situation.
Yeah, and I think that that's possible. You know, there's this group now called Conscious Gaming, really started by the GeoComply people, and you should be able to do this online because you can track everything. So, if somebody's behavior online gets to be erratic in terms of the way they bet or how much money they're betting, I don't think there's any reason you couldn't just say, hey, what are you doing there? You know, and I think hopefully that will happen sooner or later.
Yeah, I agree, hopefully.
So again, we're looking at a case though in these online casinos where the maximum bets aren't really that high. You know, I mean, I think I was online in one of them the other day, and it looked like the most you could bet on a blackjack game was like $100. Which is a lot for me, but not a lot for a big blackjack player. Is that again part of their strategy to just keep the recreational gamblers happy?
Actually, Roger, I've seen limits that are pretty high
in a lot
of casinos. Mm-hmm. Just to throw an example out, I believe DraftKings has a $50,000 hand blackjack
table.
Wow,
okay.
Video poker, I've seen play up to $300 a hand, which is higher than I've seen in a brick-and-mortar casino.
Right.
So it does vary. I think there are situations where a player can wisely choose to be at the table they feel most comfortable at. So
right.
In other words, maybe it's a table that maxes out at $100.
Well, that's true. That's where you're right. That's my neighborhood, yeah. Like a dollar minimum. For sure.
Yeah.
So tell us about unabated.com. I mean, this is an exciting tool, I think, for gamblers. You obviously have a sense of responsible gaming there, so I think that's important as well. You're not just going to tell them to go in there and play all night. What's your goal, and when's the launch date for this?
So unabated.com is a project that was started by another professional bettor by the name of Rufus Peabody.
Okay.
And Rufus is widely known as one of the top golf bettors in the world. He is a well-known personality in the gambling community.
Mm-hmm.
And Rufus and I had got together, and we wanted to find a way to kind of give back to the sports betting community,
sure,
as well as provide some authenticity. And because a lot of these sites that are out there are just out there for affiliate purposes, to direct traffic,
right,
to sports
mm-hmm.
books, they may provide some data and some research tools, but a lot of it is stale and out of date. And so we decided we build this site and use that cornerstone of authenticity to provide tools and research and community for sports bettors. So for instance, we have some trading tools, and these trading tools allow you to quantitatively price out derivative markets within sports betting. That sounds a little complex,
right,
but let me just walk you through it. You go looking at your NFL lines for a week, and you see one sports book has -3, -110, and then another sports book has the team at -3.5, even money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, which one is better?
Right.
Should I take the -3.5? Should I take the -3? Well, we have a tool where you enter those two lines in,
mm-hmm.
and this tool tells you quantitatively which of those is your better line.
Okay.
We have things like finding the alternate price. So in other words, a lot of sports books these days give you alternate lines.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're in Major League Baseball, you could bet your team on the money line,
right,
or you could bet your team at -1.5, -2.5, -3.5. Well, we have the ability to give you the prices for -1.5, 2.5, 3.5.
What they should be.
If you enter in the money line.
Right.
And you know what? Some of these books, going back to what I had mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. about the different pricing that's out there, some of these books have some poor pricing of their derivatives,
right,
and you can take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the trading tools. Then we also have what I think is going to be the best in class NFL simulator. And Rufus is kind of renowned for, he has his company Massey Peabody Analytics, and they have run these power ratings and simulator over the years, and been highly successful in betting the NFL. And he's decided to take this code, put it out to the public, and you can have a do-it-yourself NFL simulator. So you enter in your power ratings for various teams, and it'll simulate the season out 10,000 times and give you the probability that they'll win the Super Bowl, probability
right.
that they'll make the playoffs, the projected distribution of the number of wins the team will have. It's a very complex but simple to use simulator. And if you're not into creating power ratings, well, we'll have the ability to import power ratings from around the web from different sources. from ESPN, from 538, mm-hmm. all these other analytical sites, and run this simulator and kind of simulate out the season. We want to have the ability for people to have models if they don't have the ability to write code right. and to have the data science background to mm-hmm. know the underpinnings of all of this.
Right.
So that's sort of the goal of this site, is to give people that knowledge that may not have the tools and resources to learn that knowledge on their own.
Sure.
My role is content. Mm-hmm. I've been producing YouTube content for the past year. I'm going to be producing video and written content for Unabated. And the ability to help people learn concepts. We'll have courses that people can take mm-hmm. to kind of learn concepts and understand things, and maybe have a quiz at the end so they retain a lot of this knowledge. We'll have articles that are targeted towards different advantage play techniques that they can be using in sports betting. So it's an ambitious project. It's one we've been working on for a while now. We will be launching before the NFL season. We're going to go into beta testing in the next week, actually. Mm-hmm. And the full launch will be before the NFL season, because we want people to get out there and use that sure. NFL simulator to make some season futures bets before the season starts.
Okay. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, the regulated market is you know, pretty fair to players, but I still see people referring to offshore sites that are ripping them off all the time. And I try to point out, you know, well, you're playing at an illegal casino. They're answering to no one. They can do whatever they want. Are you going to kind of try to flag those bad actors, basically, in the industry, so that people can avoid them and can go to places where they'll get a fair shake?
So one of the things that is difficult for a lot of sites to walk is you can't promote regulated sportsbooks and promote unregulated sportsbooks
right.
on the same site.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're very strict about that. So we kind of take the approach of, we're not going to take affiliate money from anyone.
Yeah.
So that we can have a more authentic viewpoint
right.
of things.
Mm-hmm.
So the sports betting industry straddles this regulated and unregulated market.
Right.
In other words, there are actors within the unregulated market that are very strong components
sure.
of mm-hmm. the sports betting industry. The line still originates offshore.
Right.
And you need to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are there bad actors offshore? Absolutely. You know, it comes with that territory for the reasons you just said. But we want to be able to point out that, hey, you know, the Pinnacle line
yeah.
is still very important in the process of sports betting. The line at BetCris, which is a regulated book in Latin America,
yeah.
Is still very important in the U.S. economy of the ecosystem
mm-hmm.
of sports betting. And then there's the line at Circa in Las Vegas,
right.
and the line, you know, maybe at Bet Online offshore. So you kind of have to blend it together. And the way we're going to blend that all together is to make sure that we're not in bed with any of these companies, so that we can provide this authentic viewpoint and hopefully display their lines next to each other so you can see all the options without promoting either the regulated or the offshore books at any point.
But, you know, the offshore books are doing it illegally. I mean, again, they can lock you out. They can do anything they want, and they're not answering to anybody. So, you know, I think this is really stifling the growth of the regulated market, because, you know, people are still working with these illegal markets. I mean, we could squeeze them out, I think, by trying preventing people from going there.
Roger, I don't disagree with you on that there are bad actors offshore. However, there are good actors offshore too, and there are good people that are working for good actors offshore. And it kind of goes back to that American approach of business. Wouldn't it be better to have the good actors be regulated in the United States?
No question.
Way?
Right. And that would be fine. I mean, I know I just did an interview with Dave Rebuck here in New Jersey, and he offered a couple of years ago, you know, come online, clean your act up in New Jersey, and we'll give you a license. And as a licensed affiliate marketer in New Jersey, that didn't sit well with me, because, you know, I've towed the line from day one, whereas these are still bad actors in terms of doing it illegally. So my question is, you know, why even give them the visibility of showing their lines when they refuse to become good actors?
Well, you know, a lot of them have pulled out of the United States back in 2006 when the UIGEA was passed.
Right.
Pinnacle, Beck Chris, they were both out of the United States back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, I have to disagree somewhat that they haven't towed the line. They have towed the line as much as they could. And, you know, if Reebok is willing to open the door and provide a path to regulation, I would think they're interested. I think any offshore entity that is worth their salt would gladly try to be regulated in the United States. They, you know, they don't have a problem with paying the taxes and,
right,
and handling the regulation.
Sure.
It's just that they were born in a different regulation.
Right.
And they, you know, are looking to expand into a new regulation. But, you know, let's draw the line, because there are some bad actors, both offshore as well as what's called the PPH model, play
right.
per head model,
right.
which
right.
is your local guy who contracts with this website, and basically he pays them $10 a week for your account on their website. And it's a very shady operation
right.
in terms of you're trusting your local guy, but he's also trusting an offshore site. And sometimes there's, you know, confusion or mix-ups and
right.
things like that.
Yep.
Those are the ones that I really feel are detrimental to the industry. And of course, they work on credit. So that's why
right.
they're
yep.
never going to go anywhere, because there are a lot of people that would rather bet on credit than post up their cash.
For sure.
For various reasons.
Right.
So the books that we look to not promote, but in order to represent their standing in the ecosystem of sports betting, are not the PPHs. They
mm-hmm.
are the ones that are the offshore giants
right.
that have been here for years, will continue to be here for years, and they are regulated in one market. It's just not the U.S. market yet.
Great, great. Well, Jack, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and please let us know when Unabated launches. We'd like to drive some people over to your site and let them see what actually how they can win. So I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, with special thanks to IGT and its Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at igt.com/peak. To learn more about how players are trying to get the angle about online casinos, visit ggbmagazine.com and also igamingplayer.com. For all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the coupon code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.